Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
In a series called Mission Possible, we've been talking a lot about cultivating a culture of missions in our church. We all know that God has called all of us to go into the nations and make disciples. And a lot of times there's a going to another nation, but sometimes, you know, when you're in a city like Brisbane, which is a very international city, the mission field is right here, right where you are. And so we've been going through this series, and today we're going to be looking in Scripture at the book of Jude. So if you have your Bible, for those of you who have your Bible and you're unfamiliar with where Jude is, it's the second to last book of the Bible. So go right to the end, near the maps, and just rewind a few pages and you'll find Jude. But be careful if you go too fast, you'll skip over it because it's only one chapter. We're going to start in Jude. I'll have it up on the screen for those of you who need it. So if you have it in your Bible or on your app, just go ahead and look at it and follow it with me. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then we'll go to the next one. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life, and have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. Say that with me. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. One more time to your neighbor. Snatch others by... snatch others. See, I'm just checking, see? Save others by snatching them out of the fire. Snatch also again. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are with us today and that you've called us, just like we've been snatched from the fire, you've called us to be snatchers as well, to help snatch people out of the fires of hell, out of the grip of the grave, Lord God. So, Father, I'm praying beyond my own ability to communicate your word. I pray, Lord, that you would ignite us with a fire, Lord God, a passion to want to snatch people out of the fire. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my message today, Invasion of the Body Snatchers. We're speaking about the World Conference, that we have next year in South Africa. We have it every 3 years. And the last World Conference, it was in Orlando, in Florida, in the United States. And so I took my whole family there. We flew from Singapore to Orlando. We flew through London, New York City, and then down to, man, I'm telling you, if you've got three young kids, it's a miracle we got there when we were still Christians. I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it was quite traumatic. But anyway, we got there. We had a great time in Orlando. I'm really glad we did it. That's the first and last time we will do such a long travel with our kids until they grow up a little bit more. But on the way back, we visited some friends we have that stay in upstate New York. How many of you have ever swum in fresh water before, like in a lake? You know that there's a difference with regards to buoyancy when you swim in a lake. And so don't laugh at this picture. This is one of the only pictures that I could find. But this is me and Zion. This, my whole family and a bunch of our friends. We're up in this place called Lake Skinny Atlas up in just outside of Syracuse, New York. And we're out there with some friends. We hired a boat and we all went out and we started swimming. But then we noticed that there was an undertow. Man, you can ask Tina for her side of the story because it was initially funny. But then she saw I was really drowning because it was like a pool. And it was not just me, but a few of our friends. It was one of the scariest moments in our life, in my life. It was a comedy show for some other people that were watching. But, you know, long story short, I'm still here. They managed to throw out a buoy and pull me in and stuff. My kids were out in the water, but they got scared that their dad was scared. And we managed to get them in. I'm not scared of lakes, but I am scared of boats that are drifting away from me so that I can get to them in time to. Long and short of it, I started going to the gym after that because I didn't want that to ever happen again if I should swim in a lake again. But if you swim in a freshwater lake, it's the salt that helps keep you afloat. If you swim in a freshwater lake, it's a lot harder to stay afloat, so you have to make more effort. But I was so glad that, you know, I had friends, because my friends saw that I was drowning and didn't even jump in. They just threw the buoy out. And then, because I'm Samoan and they were all, you know, either of European descent and Asian, they were like, there was four of them pulling the rope. This is No. We would jump in, but, you know, we would probably struggle too. So, you know, I managed to get back, and I'm thankful that I'm alive to be your pastor today. But the thing I wanted to kind of talk about with regards to being a body snatcher is, how many of you have ever thought about, you know, people when they are out in a lake and they're drowning? You know, the Bible talks about at the end of the Bible in Revelation, it talks about those who do not follow Christ will actually end up in a lake, but it's not a freshwater lake, it's a lake of sulfur and fire. And God has called us to snatch people out of this lake. The kind of the imagery that I have is like this, you know, where you have somebody who's screaming for help. And I'm talking about proverbially now, talking about it with regards to us in the spirit, where people are crying out for help, for hope, for destiny and purpose. People who are suicidal, people who are drowning in the hopelessness of life. How many of you know and have experienced seeing people who, even in the sunny state of Queensland, land of the champions of the state of origin? I'm sorry for our visitors here from Sydney, but we have to, you know, truth will set you free. I'm just saying. But even in this land that is blessed with some of the most beautiful beaches in the world, there's still this oppression and depression that tries to come on you to pull you down with regards to hopelessness, with regards to just depression. There's still a spirit that tries to come upon you. Now, I'm not trying to magnify the enemy. But even with the beauty of the nature and the beauty of the environment that we have here in Queensland, this is the best the world has to offer. And there's still an enemy that will try to rob you of the joy that he has for you. Because it's the joy of the Lord that is your strength. How many of you would testify that, maybe, you know, whether it's you or you have somebody that you know that has battled that, even in beautiful Queensland, that you've seen and you've experienced this oppression that tries to come up on you? Our job as followers of Christ is to learn how to snatch people out of this lake. But for so many of us as Christians, we find ourselves, rather than learning to swim, learning how to pull people out of the lake, we end up becoming the people who stand on the side of the lake and scream out, "Swim harder, faster. Don't you know how to backstroke? I mean, didn't you go to those swimming lessons at school? Or were you cutting school at that time?" Well, it serves you right. Serves you right. And I'm not jumping in there with you. Or we look for people that, you know, like, "Didn't you read the signs before you jumped in? It said no swimming." No swimming. You know, what part of no swimming do you not understand? Yeah, it serves you right. And a lot of us as Christians end up this way, you know, and we end up being the ones, rather than getting in and helping people out of the lake, standing, forgetting that at one point in time, we were the suckers that were in the lake in the first place ourselves. And have forgotten that somebody, whether it was Jesus directly himself or some God using somebody to snatch you out of the lake, that you've forgotten about the grace that was afforded to you. God is using us as a church. Ian Brisbane, we need to wake up that God is calling us to be body snatchers. There are people in the lake of misery and death and purposelessness and suicidal thoughts here in our city. And God is calling us to snatch them up out of the lake. Be ones who, by the grace of God, would extend a hand or even learn evangelistic techniques, i.e. how to swim, so we can rescue people out of the lake of hopelessness. Don't be ones who would stand there and say, "Learn how to read the signs." Just like you say, don't you know how to read the Bible? Don't you know what the Bible says? And not wanting to get your hands dirty, not wanting to get your, what we call in Samoan, ofuloku, you know, your church clothes. You don't want to get them dirty because they're not swimwear. But when you see somebody in a lake, I'll put it to you this way. If you see somebody in a lake and you don't know them, it's a little easier to detach yourself. But when you see, like, for instance, some of us who are parents here, if we see one of our kids in the lake, there's no second guessing. I mean, off with the shirt, you're in there and you're getting them out. Why? Because you care for them. The problem is not, you know, the ability to swim. The problem is that you don't have a heart for those whom you don't have any attachment to. And so we see this, the people in Brisbane who are strung out on ice, strung out on E, strung out on meth. And we see them in the city. It serves you right. It serves you right. That's the path. That's the way it leads. It logically leads to you drowning in the water. Ha ha. Rather than being the ones that will actually lay down our lives to get in the water and pull them up out of the water. God has given all of us, every single one of us in this room, if you know Jesus, God has given us a sphere of influence, a lake, so to speak, to jump into and pull people out of. I knew this would be a non-amen sermon, because it involves activity. It's easy to say amen when it's about somebody else or it involves no participation, but this is a call to duty for us as brothers and sisters who follow Christ, who've been bought by the blood of Jesus. Let me tell you something. I'm giving you the punchline of this whole sermon. Jesus, the King of the universe, jumped into the lake for you. He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. You want to talk about a real lake, a lake of fire. He took the keys from the enemy. And he said, death, where is your sting? You have no authority over my children any longer. He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And now all of us who are followers of Christ in this room are now set free. But Galatians 5 verse 1 is very clear. It is for freedom that you've been set free. You're not just set free for yourself, because that is boring. There's no point to that. But God sets us free so that we can be the body snatchers, that we can be the ones that can help people out of the lake. Let's go back to this scripture. I'm just going to give you 3 points and then we're going to shut it down. 3 real points with regards to being body snatchers in the spirit. And you can take them if you want to be a body snatcher, or, you know, you can pray for your friends. But I would, you know, I'm just saying, if you're a follower of Christ here, God's calling all of us to be body snatchers, people who will snatch people out of the fire of hell. Because a lot of churches prefer to just preach a gospel that's all about ourselves, all about me. But if you really look at the whole entirety of the Bible, once you follow Christ, you learn that life is not about you. We just sang about it. It's all about you. It's not about me. Easy to sing it, but when it comes time for the rubber of your life to meet the road, I'll pray for that person. Pray for those guys. Yeah. Lord, just bless those bodies, snatching people, Lord. In Jesus' name, they're doing the ministry to the sinners. I'm not a sinner. Thank you, Lord. Three quick points. Here we go. First point, as body snatchers, God is calling us to look for the signs. Look for the signs. We're going to give you 2 types of signs really quickly from this passage of Scripture. Look for the signs. What signs? Prophetic signs. Let's see what Scripture says. Jude 17, it says, but you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our job as followers of Christ is to reawaken the prophetic words that have been spoken over people. Sometimes we lose hope. We lose general sense of those prophetic words, the words that God has spoken out over our lives, because the hopelessness of the enemy or the hopelessness of this life eclipses the hope that we see in the sun. And so what happens is, with that hopelessness comes thoughts of purposelessness, and then with that purposelessness comes thoughts of suicidal, because without purpose, without vision, people cast off restraint. Where there is no vision, people perish. And so our job as body snatchers is to help reacquaint people with the hope that they have in the prophetic signs, that God is a God who has a plan and purpose for every single one of us, a plan to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us a hope in the future. Our job is to remind people, hey, you weren't born to swim in the lake. You were born for much greater things. I'm here to rescue you out of that hopelessness. I'm here to help you. And let me tell you something. Chances are you will be rejected, because people kind of like swimming in the lake. Pastor Joey Bonifacio says it best in Lego Principle. He says, you know, all you have to do is just wait for somebody to experience a crisis. And inevitably, they'll know where to come looking, as long as they've experienced the love of Christ through you. I have so many friends that I'm believing for their salvation, and they know without a shadow of a doubt, not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a friend, that they know where to come to when it comes time for them to reach that crisis. My heart for them is that they never get to that point. But sometimes they'll come to that point when they're bubbling under, kind of like me in that lake in upstate New York. You know, my head is, I couldn't even pull myself up to say, help. It was kind of like a goggle, help, you know. And at that point, that's when they're calling out for you to come and help. But just building with them, just being able to build with them, and so that they know, oh, I can trust Rebecca Jew, or I can trust Tuamwala, I can trust Norman Asawa, because they really do love me. My hope is that when they come to that point of crisis, they don't look at you and see that you never cared about them. You knew the truth, but you never cared about them, to reveal the prophetic signs of the life that God has given you to speak over them. You know, a lot of times part of that is just releasing, part of releasing prophetic words is it gives them hope to pull them out of the hopelessness of what's available to us because of this world. So the first sign to look for is prophetic signs. The second sign, and it's a bit of a longer word, but it simply means end times, and that's eschatological signs. Eschatological signs, eschatological is just a flash way or theological term for the end times. There are signs of the end times. And as I'm reading this, I want you to see this and see that it kind of describes the times that we're in. They said to you, in the last time, other versions say, in the last days, there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. How many of you know we're here in Queensland in 2015, we are experiencing a lot of this, like these signs. Devoid of the Spirit. They're scoffers, meaning there are people who mock Christianity, mock following Christ. Why are you doing that? Why are you following those people? Following their own ungodly passions. Even within the church now, what we're beginning to see is a desire, you know, like we water down the gospel because there's a desire to see these ungodly passions take precedence over the passion that Christ has given us. And so it's like, I can follow Christ, but I can still sleep around. Or I can follow Christ and I can still get wasted. Or I can follow Christ and I can still go out and gamble all my money. Follow Christ and still do this. And a lot of times, guys, this is what the world will present. It's to water down this gospel. God doesn't want us to water down his gospel. God wants us to see the truth of his gospel, see us in our fallibility, but see the fact that Jesus Christ snatched us out of the lake of hopelessness. At the core of every sin, when you look at it, it really is idolatry. At the core of every sin. When you look at the core of the sin of gambling, for instance, the sin is obviously mammon, which is the pursuit of finances, the love of finances, and at the core of that is the idolatry of money, because you trust in money more than you trust in God. At the core of lust or an addiction to pornography is the sin of idolatry, because you're saying that can fulfill you, whatever that is can fulfill you in a way that only Christ can. At the core of the sin of putting anything above Jesus Christ is the sin of idolatry. And so these are signs. These are signs that we're in right now. And God is wanting us to look for those signs that say, no swimming. Don't go there. Adhere to those signs, my brothers and sisters. Adhere to the signs that are in the Word of God. If the Bible says don't do it, please don't go there. And this is coming from a father who really loves you, not a killjoy who sits in command in heaven and just says, the reason why I give you these commandments is because I want to kill your joy. The more you frown, the more happy I am that you are a Christian. Ha 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 ha. Just this megalomaniac God. No, God loves you. And that's why, much like myself, when as a parent to my kids, I say, don't play on the road because you're going to get hit by a car. Or, what if I just dip my toe over the curb? Is it okay, Dad? Sure, if you want two toes left. Or can I just just move over to the side? Can I just whip a nene on the, and then I'll come back. And some of us play that with God, but the whole reason why God says don't play on the road is because you're going to get hit. The whole reason why he says do not commit adultery is because, God has intended for us to have a father and a mother who love one another and who have been ordained by God in marriage to bring up our children. That's the whole reason why. It's not because he doesn't want us to have sex. It's because there's a right environment for everything. But if you play on the road, you're going to get hit by a car. I love you. Okay? So that's the first part. Look for the signs. And when you look for the signs in Scripture, please obey what the Scriptures say. Adhere to what the Bible says. And not in a legalistic way, but in an honoring way. God, I want to worship you with my life. And that's why I don't want to disobey you. Look, if you love somebody, you will do according to what they say. The Bible's very clear. In John chapter 15, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Some of you have heard me say this before. The way you read that scripture is not, oh, okay, because I love you, God, I need to obey your commandments. No, if you love me, the Bible is actually saying, if you look at that scripture, fall head over heels in love with me, and naturally you will obey my commandments. That's what it's trying to say. The reason why some of us don't like to obey is because we don't love God. It's just that the love is not there. It's more like, we see it like a dictatorship. Oh, okay, God, because you might zap me with lightning, I better obey you. No, there's a Father who loves you. And if you fall in love with the Father, you'll naturally want to obey his commandments. Look for the signs. And you wonder why, I want to live for God, but, my mind's telling me no. But my body. Some of you all listen to Chris Brown sermons more than you listen to Jesus, man. No, for real, for real. Like, you don't know the truth of the signs of God, and you wonder why, man, they ain't loyal, you know? The reason why they're not loyal is because they don't know Jesus. That's why they're not loyal, because you understand loyalty comes from God. Jesus was loyal to the point of dying for you. Chris Brown won't do that for you. Beyonce won't do that for you. Look for the signs, my brothers and sisters. Don't let your life succumb to standards that are much less than what God has for you. It's not standards so you can elevate yourself above the lake and go, see, if you would have followed me, you wouldn't be in that lake, so ha-ha. No, I mean, that's, unfortunately, you know, the church has been presented in this way, this Pharisaic image of there's no love for those who are in the lake. See, there's the power of understanding that God, that Jesus Christ operated with the truth, because he is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. The truth of Scripture. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So you must know his word. But at the same time, he was full of grace. So it's both. It's not one without the other. I want to preach that another day. But please do look for the signs. Look for the signs within Scripture. A lot of us succumb to temptation because we don't know the signs. We don't know how to read the Bible. Understand how to read the Bible. Understand the signs. And then you'll be able to help others out of the lake, including keeping yourself out of the lake. The way you can tell what a person really worships is get them under extreme pressure and see what they run to. When you are up under the most extreme pressure, when life has got you down, what do you run to? For me, back in the day, it used to be rap music. I remember breaking up with girlfriends, you know. Girlfriend broke up with me, I'd go right in there, just throw on N.W.A. and, you know, try to be a little skinny gangster. I was like half the man twice the man I used to be now, you know. But like, I was back then, yeah, you know. Gangster. Yeah. And my dad, oh, what's that noise? Oh, no, nothing, Dad. Turn it down. Put on the Don Moen. I just want to be where you are.
Gangsta.
Had my little Vivid and tag and yeah. Look for the signs. Let's move on. Number two, respond in love and mercy. Turn to somebody next to you and encourage them. Respond in love and mercy. So firstly, you want to look for the signs. Now, it's signs for you, but it's signs also for those who are drowning. I want to encourage you with this. Let me just have your attention real quick. God wants you to begin to pray for people who are already on their way in the lake, or they're in the lake. But look for signs as to when they're going to need that help. And as you're seeing them in the lake, God, and they're in those places where they're beginning to drown, this is our response. Respond in love and mercy. And Samoan, you know, my mom or my dad or whoever, you know, would always encourage me not to be so Pharisaic, because I would be the sort of so-called proverbial Christian that would say, told you so. In Samoan, we have a phrase called, wala ia. You know, but you know, it's basically means to say, I told you. That's not responding in love and mercy. And a lot of the reason why we don't respond in love and in mercy is because we don't have a heart for those who are in the lake. Look up at me real quick. I know some of you are taking notes, but look up at me. I want to ask you, do you have a heart for those who are in the lake? That needs to be your first point of prayer, is to ask God, transform my heart for what breaks your heart. The Bible here in Jude, Jude 20, it says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. See, this is the way that God transforms our hearts, is through prayer. We ask God, give me your heart. Give me your heart. Lord, I'm not leaving until you begin to break my heart for the people that are around me. Break my heart for the city of Brisbane, God. Break my heart for the people who are suffering, who are addicted. And right tonight, right out there in Fortitude Valley, Lord God, trying to look for hope at the bottom of a bottle. Or for those who are out in Browns Plains right now, Lord God, trying to look for hope in a crack pipe or whatever it is. For those who are here in our CBD from Monday to Friday, trying to chase that dollar. Whatever that idol is, God, give me the opportunity, Lord God. And not just the opportunity, but a heart for the people who are trying to chase, trying to swim after what this lake has to offer. And this lake has absolutely nothing to offer them of any eternal consequence. Lord, I know that because you snatched me out of the lake. And God, I want to have your heart for the broken, your heart for the lost. So it's praying in the Holy Spirit, in your most holy faith, and keeping yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. So for some of us, this is the hardest point. Having mercy, you know, that's hard. But then having mercy on those who doubt, whew, that's hard, right? Because, you know, you're trying to, God, thank you for the sermon today from Pastor Nelly, Lord. I'm going to go home, Lord. And I just pray, God, you'll help me to be a witness to my friend Frank, Lord God, who's at my workplace. Tomorrow I'm going to share the gospel with him. And so you go to Frank. The Lord told me that I, you know, just want to share with you just about my story and how God helped me. And Tom, you know, or Frank, or who was it, Frank or Frank? Frank. Frank says, what are you talking about? I don't want to hear about that. And then he walks away. And then you say to God, God, you said, ask and you will receive. Like, where were you, God? You told me yesterday. I was so amped up. I was so fired up to share with Frank about the gospel. And now I shared with him and he walked away. And for some of us, have you ever experienced that? Like, you want to share with them. You want to share with them the hope of God. But the Bible says here, have mercy on those who doubt. Try to rewind back to when God revealed his mercy to you. And think about the people that were around you at the time. Some of us, it's parents. Some of us, it's peers or friends, right? Think about that time. Did you respond the first time in love? Oh, yeah, I'll be saved right away. How many of you was like a process? Or maybe it had to be different people. God is looking for a people who won't doubt when others doubt, but will continue to have mercy on people. Continue to have mercy on those who do doubt. Last one. Snatch like you were snatched. The Bible's very clear. Even in the Greek, it's an intentional snatching. Going after, you know, there's no time for politeness when you are snatching people out of hell. When people ask for help, God, I need, or they say, you know, like, let's say that I'm the one in the lake and my brother Andrew is there, and I'm like, Andrew, I need your help. And Andrew was like, oh, I'll pray about it. Or, you know, well, are you sure? You know, is this comfortable for you? No, I mean, if we're really friends, I'll jump in there and help them out. Not snatch them out, right? Like if somebody that you love, for instance, again, for those of you who are parents, imagine your children. Or for those of you who are single, imagine somebody you love inside the lake and they are like bubbling under. Would you, you know, just be polite about it? Oh, you know, you just need a little bit of help. Where does it hurt? You know, and they're like, blah, 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 you know, how can I help you? You know, is it here? No, you just grab them and take them out, right? You snatch them out. I don't know about you, but for the people that I love, if it was any of my kids, oh, I'm just grabbing them out and taking them out. I want to tell this story, and then you can talk to Tina about it, the consequences. But when my, just as an example of this. When my mother-in-law passed away, it actually happened when I was getting ready to fly back to Singapore, and I was just walking into the bathroom. I heard my wife screaming, "Daddy!" I ran in there. It's funny, but it's not funny because I ran into the room, and Tina and her sisters. If you know Tina, you get to know her. She's the youngest of 8 siblings. Her sisters were standing there; they were frozen, and Tina was the only one trying to mobilize and make things happen. She was like, we got to get mom to the hospital. And so this was about 5 years ago. So I grabbed mom, and they live in a 2-story home. So I grabbed mom and the driver, because in the Philippines they have a driver. The driver was just standing there and said, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. He's like, dude, help me out, man. Oh my God, oh my God. So I grabbed mom and I run. Because I love my mom, right? I grab her and I run and from one side of the house to the other side of the house, climb down the stairs, and then run out, kick open the gate, and then I open up the van to put her inside the van, her body. By that time, she'd already passed away, but I put her in the van, and then Tina was pregnant with Zion at the time. She's like, come out. Get in the van. Like, we didn't worry about the fact that I was extremely unfit at the time. And I realized this, Norm. Chelsea and Ray, I realized this. When I got in the van, I went, oh, hold on. I'm not fit. And then Tina, and if you know Tina, this is how amazing my wife is. The driver is still driving. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And we live, for those who are from the Philippines, if you know your way around Manila, we live near White Plains, near St. Ignatius, so the top of Katipunan, and we were driving to the hospital. I forgot the name of the hospital. It's not very far, but it was traffic on a Saturday, right? Tina gets up, sits on the the window, you know, where you wind the window down and the door, she sits out and points to her belly, "Move out of the way! Move out of the way! Move out of the way!" And I'm not kidding you, man, like the Red Sea. Oh, the cars just partying. Driver's like, "Oh my God! Oh my God!" And I'm sitting. We take mom in there, and then they, you know, unfortunately, you know, she had passed away already in her sleep. But my point is that when you are with somebody that you love, right, when you love them so much, you will go to extra measures of adrenaline strength. You will find and muster up whatever courage you can to get them the help that they need. Now, if she was, if she needed that help and they had the hope to bring her back to life, we would have done that anyway. But like, even though she had already passed away, there was this supernatural strength that came over me and came over my wife in terms of, "Come on, get out of the way!" Because everyone thought that she was going to have the baby, but it was just to get people out of the way so we could get there. Because in the Philippines, you call an ambulance, they'll be there in 2 days. So, oh, sorry, po. My point is, if you love somebody, you will go the extra mile to see them rescued and get them the help that they need. The issue for us, brothers and sisters, is that we genuinely don't really love the lost. And that's the reason why we won't go the extra measure for our city. We won't go the extra measure of trying to park traffic and trying to run 2 floors of stairs and all of that. I'm saying that proverbially, but hopefully you understand the nature of how we should pray is fervently. And the nature of how we should go after those who are lost is fervently. It's being ferocious and being intentional with reaching those who are stuck in the lake and about to drown in the sea of hopelessness right here in our city of Brisbane, in our state of Queensland, in our nation of Australia. Do you have that heart for the lost? It's easy in Australia to become so encapsulated in a life that revolves around me and mine, my family, my marriage, my church, even this church. Let me tell you something. This church, yes, it exists for you, but it exists for the city of Brisbane, to reach the city. And if we are not going to be the salt and the light of this world, we might as well all pull out bingo cards and play bingo, just turn this into a community group. This church does not exist just for us to play community games. It exists for us to reach this city, to reach this nation, to empower a culture of missions that understands what it means to have our bodies snatched in the first place, and that through that snatching of our bodies, we know how to snatch others out of the fire of hell. We need to have that sort of fervency and just say, "God, I'm not going to let my brothers and sisters who are in my office right now and don't know Jesus, I'm not going to let them go to hell. Not on my watch." If we're really honest, we've got people right around us that don't have the hope of Christ. And they do get on your nerves. I understand that. But God has put you in that place to be a body snatcher. In the same way that you might have your perception of how perfect you are, probably got on somebody's nerves at the time too. But somebody prayed for you. Somebody snatched you out of the fire. How many of us would say, and I'm talking to different ones of us in this place, that you may say, "Oh, you know what, Pastor Nelly, I don't know if I'll even be here in 3 months." If you prove yourselves faithful here, no matter where he places you, God will use you in the same way. But it's all about taking with intentionality the call to be a body snatcher. For those of you who are in this room tonight and you do not know Christ, you've come to the right place to have yourself snatched back into your purpose. I believe there's people in this room here today. It's no accident you're here, because you've wanted to get back to the shore, because you've been drowning in a sea of hopelessness for a long time. I'm here to tell you, you're at the right place. And much the same way that God has snatched me and snatched many of these people in this room, God wants to snatch you back and pull you back onto the shores of purpose and reason to live and hope. And the love, the agape love, the unconditional love of a father who doesn't care what you've done, but has an unconditional love for you like you've never experienced before. You've come to the right place. Can we stand to our feet as we close?
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.